Welcome to the Remedy Church Podcast. We're coming to you from Waxahachie, Texas, and you can find out more about us at www.remedy-church.com. Our great hope and prayer for this is that God speaks to you through this message.
My name is Brian Wooten. I'm one of the pastors here at Remedy Church. We're thankful that you're in the room, and I want to invite you to grab a copy of God's Word. If you have a hard copy, that's great. If you need a hard copy, we've got some extra ones over by the coffee in the offering box. Feel free to grab one of those. If you're digital, any digital natives in the room? Digital natives, okay? No day. All right, nobody's going to raise their hand on that one. That's fair. Okay, let's make sure that we have our eyes fixed on the Word of God. Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 14 in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we dive into the Word together. And as Aaron said, we are wrapping up a series that we have called Disciple Making Mission. And to be honest with you, we did not plan for this series to go that long. You ever heard a pastor say that before? Okay. But we really didn't. We had something in mind we felt convicted and led to get into in the Word. And then as we have gone into this week after week and have been hearing from you as our church family going, man, what's the Lord doing? How is He moving and working among us? We just feel very much carried along by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God and by Jesus in us as His body, going, man, He is doing some deep things in our hearts and lives in this particular season in a unique, particular way that I pray we never, ever forget as a church family. I pray we could build a memorial, if you will, to this season in our church family and go, man, the Lord solidified some deep convictions in our heart. He taught us some new things. He led us into some new ways. And so our deep desire today as we wrap up this series is to ask God to keep doing what He has been doing. And we're just going to do a couple things. We're going to review our main takeaways from the last 2 months. We're going to talk about some action steps empowered by the Spirit of God. And we're going to look at a prayer today in Colossians 1 that I pray will fuel the disciple-making mission that Jesus has for us as a church family. So would you read along with me? Follow along with me. I'm going to read in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 14. Then we'll pray. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray together as a people that You have made us. And as we just sang, I can't help but we would just beg You that we would be more satisfied with knowing You than we would with anything else. So, Holy Spirit, would You do what only You can do? Would You remove the dross from the silver? Would You purify us? Would You take the things in our hearts and minds that seem satisfying or that we would be tempted to believe are enough or what we want, and would You remove them from our hearts and minds in this moment? And would You exalt Jesus and show us His glory? And would the Word run swiftly in our hearts and minds today? And would we be satisfied in knowing Jesus more? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So we're going to move pretty quickly. Everything we're about to see on the screen and that I'm going to mention, we have done a deep dive biblically into. So if you want to go back and catch other sermons from this series, I would encourage you to do so. We're never going to say anything to you that's not deeply rooted and tethered to the Word of God. So we're going to move quickly and just review a couple main takeaways. Number one, we said this: disciple making is the work of the Father, set in motion by Jesus the Son, and empowered by the Spirit, that results in people following Jesus. Like, let's just start and get this right. We don't make disciples in and of ourselves, right? Who makes disciples? God does. So just burn it deep. God makes disciples. The fullness of the Trinity is deeply committed to making disciples of Jesus. Like, that should, like, take a weight off of our shoulders and go, praise the Lord. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we saw through the scriptures, are committed to empowering us, and that results in people following Jesus. So here's what I want to do, is take a few of these points. And, like, so this is active participation Sunday. Y'all good? Y'all with me? Some of y'all look at me like, please don't do this, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray prayers together corporately as we move through this and, like, beg the Lord to continue doing this. So here's the first prayer. Father, accomplish your work of disciple making among us. Just pray this. God, would you accomplish your work, not our work, your work of disciple making among us. God, we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, Jesus, would you move through us as your body to make disciples? Like, look at the room. Like, this is us, y'all. Y'all looking good this morning, okay? But, like, Jesus, would you move through us, through these people in this room that make up our church family, those that are not here, would you move through us as your body to make disciples? Just ask Jesus to do it. Just take a moment. Ask Jesus to move through us. Jesus, you are our head. We are your body, individually members of your body. Would you move through us to make disciples? We pray it in your name. Amen. And then we saw that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to make disciples. So we're not asking you to pull your bootstraps up, to suck it up and do better. We're going, the Holy Spirit, Christ is in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is empowering this work in us. So we saw this in the scriptures, but let's pray. Holy Spirit, empower us to make disciples. Just pray that. Pray that for yourselves, for your family, for our church family. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. God, would you help us to surrender our own good ideas and our own strength, and would we rely on the power of the Spirit in us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, then next we looked at the definition of a disciple, and we said biblically we could say this. Who is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is learning from Jesus and walking in obedience to his words and ways. Super simple, rooted in the scriptures. Someone who is learning from Jesus and walking in obedience to his words and ways. And then we said this, disciples of Jesus make present and future disciples by teaching others to learn from Jesus, modeling ongoing obedience to Jesus' words and ways, and calling them in love to do the same thing. So, like, we talked about the Great Commission. Go therefore and make what? Disciples. And we talked about this. He doesn't say make converts. He doesn't say make believers. This was the quiz a couple weeks ago. How many times is the word disciple in the New Testament, in the Gospels and Acts? Y'all remember the answer? Boom, 269. Yes. Okay. Our teens are smarter than us, y'all. It's okay. Okay. All right. 200. So we're talking about disciples, not just believers. We're talking about disciples. That we would make present and future disciples, that we would be obedient to Jesus' commission and command to do that. And we just really want to ask the question, like we did ask the question, how do we do it? How do we live sent the way that Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And Aaron did a good job of unpacking this a few weeks ago. He said, living missionally is learning to see the people in the everyday rhythms of our lives as the people Jesus has sent you to. So we don't have to, like, come up with this grand plan all the time. Like, where do you live, work, and play? Those are the people that Jesus has sent you to. Living missionally is learning to see the people in the everyday rhythms of our lives as the people Jesus has sent you to. And then Jesus sends his disciples to make disciples wherever they are. Okay, we talk about the where we live, work, and play, but we also are reminded of this, with an eye to the nations, to all peoples. Every tribe, tongue, people, and nation will be before the throne worshiping King Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we have an eye to the nations. We invest ourselves to the nations. And so here's a prayer for those things. Jesus, continue to send us where we live, work, and play with an eye to the nations, and may we pray, give, and go for the glory of Christ. There's a lot, but let's pray that. Let's pray that in the moment today. And just be reminded, like the prayers of the saints in Revelation says are like incense before the throne. Like, let's offer up some more prayers for the glory of Christ in ourselves. Just pray that. Just, Jesus, would you continue to send us where we live, work, and play? Jesus, would you keep our eyes on the nations? Would we be faithful? Would you send out our best? Jesus, may we pray, give, and go for your name and for your glory. Let's pray that for our church family. That we would be actively involved in praying, giving, and going for the glory of Christ. Jesus, we're asking you to do it. We can't do it. We're asking you to do it. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. We good? Y'all doing good? Okay. All right. So in the midst of that, one of the questions that Aaron and I were discussing this week as we looked at wrapping up the series, we kind of framed it this way. How do we make sure we're thinking about disciple making and still doing it a year from now? Is that fair? Like, we're like instant gratification culture. Like, oh, this was great. Now what's next? And we're going, man, we want this to be burned deeply in us as a people. We would go, man, remember when we went through disciple-making mission and the things that God did? How do we make sure that we're still doing it and thinking about it a year from now? And this is why we want to land in Colossians chapter 1, because it's a prayer. So, and Aaron said this a few weeks ago, prayer is the greater work. Like, prayer is work, y'all. Like, it's not a domestic intercom. Pastor John Piper is famous for this quote. It's not a domestic intercom. It's a wartime walkie-talkie. That's what prayer is. So when we look at this prayer in Colossians 1, the context of Colossians 1, if you look up just a few verses from what we read, the gospel had come to them. They had believed in the word of truth. And even we even see disciple making in verse 7. Look at it says, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Okay, so Epaphras is teaching other people how to be a disciple, make disciples. They had learned the gospel from him. It was in the context in verse 6 of bearing fruit and increasing as it always does among you. And we would go, man, by the grace of God, we see like fruit coming from the people of God at Remedy Church as we are investing and engaging this idea of making disciples. And we're just going, okay, how do we pray? Like, what should we pray to start and beg the Lord to continue this work? And so we bring all of that to verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And just so you know, this is a really long sentence over the next 3 or 4 verses. I like kept reading. I was like, well, this is one sentence. Okay, like there's a lot of semicolons and commas, okay? But you're going to see the word all a lot. All spiritual wisdom here. All spiritual understanding. So here, again, active praying together this morning. May we be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Just pray that. God, would you help us be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of your will. Not halfway filled, not like enough to make it through the day, but full to the top, overflowing, filled. We want all of it. We want all spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And then verse 10, so as. So why do we want to be filled with knowledge, spiritual wisdom, and understanding? So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's a whole lot there. In a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So we don't want to just have a little bit of spiritual wisdom and understanding. We want a full measure of that so that we can be fully pleasing to Jesus. Amen? Like, we don't want to, like, half-heartedly, yeah, I love Jesus and 20 other things, and we'll see how it goes. No, we want to be fully pleasing to him. Like, it's just, it's convicting in the moment to go, like, at the top of your, like, list of, like, who you want to please, is Jesus at the top? Like, we have competing affections in our lives. We're trying to please maybe family or bosses or friends or whatever. Like, in the midst of things that people that you may be wanting to please, is Jesus at the top of the list? And hear the gospel this morning. We're not going, stop doing that, do better. Remember the gospel. Like, we're praying and asking God to do this in us. So here are the prayers in verse 10. Number one, may we walk in a manner worthy of and pleasing to Jesus. Just pray this for your own heart and for our church family. May we walk in a manner worthy of. God, may our lives be worthy of King Jesus. May our lives display his mercy. And may we be pleasing to Jesus. Forgive us for seeking to please others more than Jesus. And the second prayer we see in verse 10 is, may we bear fruit as we abide in Jesus and know God more. And don't miss this. I feel like I almost missed it reading too quickly this week. Bearing fruit in every good work. Remember, you must abide in the what? Vine. Apart from me, you can do what? Jesus said, nothing. So we are abiding in Jesus to bear fruit in every good work. And I'm going to say that every good work absolutely includes disciple making. Okay? Absolutely. And increasing, don't miss this, increasing in the what? The knowledge of God. Don't miss that. Like, we have to know him more. We have to know him more to bear fruit and to know God more. May we bear fruit as we abide in Jesus and know God more. Would you just, let's ask God to do that. God, would you bear fruit in us as we abide in Jesus? Forgive us for thinking that we can do anything in our own strength. And would you help us to know you more? Would you help us to know you more? In Jesus' name, amen. So we come to verse 11. So it's still the same sentence. Any English majors freaking out yet? Y'all good? It's all one sentence. Not a run-on. There's good punctuation, okay? If the Greek people in here want to come up and, you know, give us the rules here. But so it just keeps moving, okay? Being strengthened with all power. So here's the alls again. Look at all the alls. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Don't you love the with joy piece at the end of that? That's really encouraging, right? Like, it's not about just making it. It's not about just making it to the finish line and enduring and by God's grace being patient. Like, we want to run this race as hard as it is in this life with a big abiding peace and joy of Jesus, like, on us, in our countenance. I'm not saying we're smiling all the time, but there should be a deep abiding peace and joy of knowing Jesus that marks us as his people so that we can run this race with endurance and patience. This reminded me of another verse in 2 Peter, and I want us to see it this morning, specifically about the power that it mentions in verse 11. 2 Peter 1 says his divine power, and don't just, like, we don't have power. Like, there's some awesome people in this room that are really gifted, but I love you. You don't have ultimate authority. You don't have power over your life or anybody else's life. Like, the power is God's. So his divine power has granted to us all things. There it is again. How many things? All things. Like, how awesome is God? How magnificent is our great God? He has all power. He has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. Like, you're going like, I need help. I need wisdom. I need this. Like, everything. Like, we have everything we need. And so where does it, look how it just builds. Goes from there. Through what? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So how do we get this wisdom and discernment and power and authority and everything that pertains to life and godliness? We know him more. And we know him more through the living and active word of God. How do we build intimacy in relationships? We talk and we listen. So don't divorce the idea of, man, I want the power of God and the victory of God and all this, but I don't really want to know him that much. Like, there's no room for that in the scriptures. We have to know him. We have to know him. And here's what we learn and love as we're in the scriptures and knowing Jesus more. Like, the more we know him, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the more endurance we have. And the more patience that we can exhibit, and the more joy that we have. So we want to know him through his word, who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us, verse 4, his precious and very great promises. Like, do we see the word of God as precious and very great? I always joke about I always misquote the movie, but like, the precious. Right? Okay? We have a whole bunch of little things that are precious to us that are not the Word of God. And so in the midst of that, may the Lord bring conviction to us and encouragement to, like, push to the side the things that we think are really precious that are not, that don't give life, that don't give us everything that pertain to life and godliness. And, like, may we know Jesus more through his word. Because ultimately, this book, the paper and the binding, is not precious. Who is precious, y'all? Jesus. And this is his word to us. So may the Lord do that in us. So here's the prayer. May we be strengthened with God's divine power. Yes, we need power that is not from us, that's from God, in order that he may give us endurance and patience with joy. I would just encourage you, if you feel like your joy tank is like maybe on fumes or on empty, like, just confess that to Jesus. Like, I love you, Jesus. I want to know you and love you more, but I am not joyful. Like, he's not afraid of that. Just say it to him. And then we're praying here, God, would you do this? Would you strengthen us with your divine power, in order that you may give us endurance and patience with joy. God, would you do that in and among us as a church family? We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we're working through this, we're going, okay, all this is for something. All this wisdom and knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, his glorious might, so we'd have all endurance and patience with joy. But like, what's that for? And so here's, again, we're saying, how do we make sure that we're thinking about disciple making and still doing it a year from now? We're praying all of these things towards that end. So here's the first part of this passage is, we are praying scripture-filled prayers. So like, let's take the word of God and let's pray it for our souls and for each other as a church family. We want to pray scripture-filled prayers and do the work of prayer for ourselves and for our church family. And in the midst of that, we go, man, there's like some specific like next steps and things that we can apply to our lives by the grace of God and with his power that would bring about some new habits and new rhythms for us as a church family. So this is again, I told you I've done a deep dive into the Navigators and their ministry and Dawson Trotman and God's grace working through him way back in the 30s all the way up till now. And one of the things that they say a lot is, and this is not a new, you may have heard this before, information plus application equals transformation. So you get new information, you've got to apply it or it's not going to stick. If you can apply it, then you get some new rhythms and some new traction in those things. So the first thing we mentioned is top five, okay? Who are my top five? And what we mean by that, who are five people in your life currently where you live, work, and play that are not following Jesus, that are not a disciple of Jesus? They may know him. They may be vehemently opposed to him. Anywhere on the spectrum, who are five people? They may be in your home. That are not currently following Jesus. Who are my top five? And like we want you, we have a card over there if you want a cool little card to write it down on, or you can just get your phone out and put it in your notes. Top five, write their names down. And we want to offer prayers for them. So we're going to do it right now, active participation. We're going to take just a minute. Who are the people that come to mind right now? Would you lift them up to the throne of God and ask Jesus to move in them and to save them. Just one by one, by name, just lift that to the Lord now. Ask that God would show them the glory of God in the face of Jesus. That they would repent and believe the gospel. Would you just ask God to use you, to use us, to be ambassadors of the gospel in their lives? Jesus, thank you for the people that you've placed in our life. Thank you for friends and family that we have connections with right now, and they don't know you. So would you do what we can't do? Would you save them and rescue them? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We also talked about investing and inviting. Like, we can tell our stories. So just another easy question. Who is God leading me to invest in? Okay, who is God leading me to invest in? Where do I need to invest my time and energy with the people of where I live, work, and play? Which means you're going to have to say no to good things. If you read in Romans 15, Paul said, like, I've been longing to come to you, but I haven't because of the sake of the gospel. Like, he wanted to come see the church in Rome, but he had other more pressing things. So, like, in the midst of investing in people, that means you're going to have to say yes to them and no to something else. Okay? So who are the people, it may be in the midst of your top five or in your circles of live, work, and play, who is God leading me to invest in? Secondly, who is God leading me to invite into gospel-centered community? So that could be in connection to your missional community. It could be just opening your home in a hospitality kind of way and going, hey, you want to come over for a meal? Okay, it could be getting a few friends together in our church family and going out and doing something fun together, but just to expose people, it could be inviting them to our worship gathering on a Sunday. Who is God leading me to invite into gospel-centered community? And then next we said disciple-making is relational, intentional, and reproducible, okay? These three easy kind of handles that we can have as we make disciples, just the way that Jesus did. Jesus was relational, intentional, and he reproduced himself. So just think about your people in your circles of life right now and think about those three words, relational, intentional, and reproducible. Like, by God's grace, we got number one covered, right? Like, you know them, okay? Like, you're probably in relationship with a lot of people. The thing that I would say with this is just wherever you are, add one of these components to it. So if you're like, I just have a relationship, but I'm not being intentional, then take a step of being intentional. Maybe share your story, share your testimony. Ask them, hey, would you like to learn what it means to know and follow Jesus? Take an intentional step toward them. Or maybe you're like in a disciple-making relationship, and man, I've got relationship. We're being intentional. Are we building in the reproducing piece of that? Again, I shared that before. Like, that's where it's something I feel like God's growing me in this season is like, am I challenging those in my circles to reproduce themselves for the glory of Jesus? So wherever you find yourself in the midst of these, just take one step from where you are. If you're relational, add intentionality. If you're relational and intentional, then add the reproduction piece and the multiplication piece to that. Now, we asked some of our missional community leaders for feedback this week. Like, hey, what are some questions you're hearing from your people? What are some things that are going on that have been encouraging and things like that? And there's a couple that I want to share just to, like, let you know the, kind of the broader conversation. So here was one question that we had that I think resonates probably across the board. Number one, someone said this: how does it look specifically for me as a mom with small children? So by God's grace, y'all just saw them, like, run out of here. We got a lot of moms with small children. Yes and amen, right? Okay. And so the question is, like, how does this look for me as a mom when I feel like all my time is at home taking care of little ones? Okay, so that's a fair question, right? Okay, so this is like, I'm going to like do a conversation that happened in our church family, but they didn't really talk. So that was one mom, okay, from one missional community. Here's something from another mom in another missional community. She said this: I feel like the series was helpful for me to realize that where you live, work, and play is an okay place to make disciples, instead of feeling like I have to go somewhere dramatic or big, because that's really all I have time for right now, exclamation point, okay? But I also noticed that I could be more intentional about some of my conversations with people. You see that? Like, both. Like, the Lord's doing this, right? You feel the tension? Like, all the mamas with littles, like, we love you. And it's hard. Never been a mama with littles, but I'm married to one that I remember that season, and it's hard. You're like doing good to make it through the day and everybody's alive. Okay. So what does that mean? And again, like, relational, intentional, and reproducible. You already are in relationship with your little people. Praise the Lord. So, like, what's intentional look like with your season of life with little kids? You know, I told Gina I was trying to find it this morning. She's like, you don't need to bring that and show everybody. But, like, we had this little ABC scripture memory book. And I was like, we're going to do, like, whenever I realized that Caleb could memorize songs from Clifford, I was convicted that I was not teaching him the scriptures. For real. So that's my context way back in the day. Parents, y'all know what your cartoon of choice is or whatever, that your kids know the words to every song and all these things. If our kids can sing those songs, they can memorize the Word of God. So that's the intentional piece. So we had it like A, B, C, like A, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, be still and know that I am God. C, confess. I'm going to blow it right now. D was delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. E was every good and perfect gift is from above. I'm going to bring my kids up here and let them do it. Okay. F was for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. H was holy, holy, holy. So you see, like, repetition and intentionality over and over and over and over and over again. So moms with littles, by the grace of the Lord, you already have relationship. Take an intentional step and be encouraged to teach them the scriptures. Sing with them. Give them gospel songs to go with their cartoon songs so they will be deeply ingrained in their hearts and their minds. Sing with them. Dads, sing with your family. Y'all looking at me crazy now. That's okay. Sing with your family. I can't sing a lick. It's okay. At this point in life, I'm like, it is what it is. But, like, sing together. So, again, moms of littles, be encouraged. We heard this from multiple missional communities in different ways. What if I don't feel the desire to make disciples? What if I just don't feel like it? That's honest. Happy Sunday. Heard it from multiple missional communities. What if people are hard? What do I do with that? And I would just say, like, let's, and number one, we've all been there, right? Okay. So somebody was just brave enough in a couple different missional communities to say it out loud. Praise the Lord. We've all been there. So, like, my encouragement to us in that question is confess that to Jesus. I don't feel like making disciples. Or maybe I don't even want to right now. Like, he's not afraid of that. He already knows. So just say it to him. And then in the midst of that, this is why this passage in Colossians is so important. It's not do better, try harder. It's we need to know Jesus more. Because if we're going to love other people, we can't love other people in our own strength. We have to love other people. We love because who first loved us? Yeah. So we don't need to try harder. We need to know Jesus more. So let's confess and repent for a lack of desire. And then let's ask Jesus, like, God, we want to know you more. Help me to love. Like, we don't need to exercise our own compassion on people. We need to exercise Jesus' compassion on people. So let's let him do that in us. Confess that. Let's know Jesus more. And then lastly, somebody said, you know, what does this look like in regards to like living in community in my neighborhood with friends who are not Christians or not disciples? I don't want to make somebody a project, or I want to really truly befriend someone. But at what point do I tell them about Jesus when I'm afraid it may hurt our relationship? That's real. That's fair, right? Good job, Remedy Church, for being honest. Okay? So in the midst of that, what do we do? And I want to pull back to one thing that Aaron said a few weeks ago. To make disciples of Jesus, we have to talk about Jesus. But it matters how we talk about Jesus. And we said this again, I'll repeat it. Share your story and ask people about their story. So as you're getting to know a neighbor, or as you're helping with a project, or as you're having a cookout in your neighborhood, whatever the case may be, okay? Number one, you and I could both sniff out somebody if we're the project, right? Like, we all have that kind of discernment. So let our love be genuine, yes. May we give ourselves to other people, yes. And then go, hey, tell me about your story. Like, what are the major events in your life that have really shaped you? Because here's what happens. You ask that question, what's the natural response to that? What about you? So then we're just telling in conversation our story. And that was another good piece of feedback that we got from our missional communities. Someone said, like, man, just knowing that, like, sharing the gospel via telling my story is a good way to approach it. Like, praise the Lord. Okay? So we can share our stories, but to make disciples of Jesus, we have to talk about Jesus. And so as we look to the end of this text where we go today, I just want to put this in front of us and remind us that disciple-making means engaging the battle on the front lines of spiritual warfare. I think we would be remiss if we did not remind ourselves of this as a church family. Disciple-making means engaging the battle on the front lines of spiritual warfare. Satan hates the church. He hates the fact that we're thinking about being obedient to Jesus, especially with regard to going after people and towards people that are currently in his kingdom that we are asking Jesus to rescue and bring into God's kingdom. So we would be foolish to think that we would be taking active steps of obedience and there would not be some real pushback and challenge and warfare related to that. And just real quick, I'm going to reference it here and see a couple things in Revelation 12, 7 through 11. We'll have it in the notes. A war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, being Satan, and he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. He was thrown down, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. His angels were thrown down with him. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. Listen, the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even to death. So here's what I want to say. Satan's primary means of attacking Jesus' disciples is accusation. Satan's primary means of attacking you and I as Jesus' disciples is accusation. What does it say there in Revelation? He's doing it how often? What is the frequency of his accusation? Day and night before our God. This is what our enemy does. He knows you by name. And he knows what your week was like this week. He knows what you said and what you looked at and what you thought about. And he is before the throne going, God, did you see Brian this week? Did you see that? Oh, did you see that? Can you believe he thought that? Can you believe he did that? Can you believe he treated his family like that? That's happening day and night. And here's what we need to let land on us if we're going to understand the full weight of the gospel. He's not wrong. He's not wrong. So when that happens, and when we are, so here's what's happening right now in my heart and in your heart. Sin, reminder of our sin this week even, or much less past sin, is coming to the surface, right? Guilt is coming to the surface. Shame is coming to the surface. And this is Satan's primary means of attacking us. We have to see it so we know how to fight. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For we, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Pause. We desperately need divine power to deal with our sin and our guilt and our shame, right? Because like you might have been wrestling with stuff your whole life. How's that going in your own strength? It's a train wreck. We wonder why we're a mess all the time trying to wrestle through our own sin and our own guilt and our own shame. We need divine power. Listen, verse 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God to take every thought captive to obey Jesus. So here's what Satan's doing. He's lobbing grenades into your heart and your soul and your mind with thoughts that are not from God. And especially for those of us that are in Jesus, have no bearing or authority over us, but he's reminding us over and over again, you want to make disciples? That's good. How in the world do you think you have any right to make a disciple when you fill in the blank? What makes you think you can make a disciple of Jesus? You're not even following him this week. So my question to us is, when those things land on us, and they do every day, how do we fight? And how do we do what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, to take every thought captive? Number one, we go back to Colossians 1, and don't miss this. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in light. Two things. Number one, give thanks. So what we're going to do with our enemy is remind him, not of what we've done or what we haven't done, we're going to remind him of who God is. So we give thanks to the Father. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. C.S. Lewis is famous for saying this, praise completes joy. So when we sing together as a congregation, when you sing in your homes, Dad, you're going to be singing in your homes. It's going to be good, okay? When we're singing these things, we are doing something. We're reminding ourselves and our enemy that our God is great and that he has divine power and he has all authority. We are going to remind ourselves that the name of our God and the name of Jesus is above every other name. And we will magnify him with thanksgiving. So worship is fighting. So when we don't just come in here and sing on Sunday morning. We are reminding ourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that our God is awesome. And there is no one like him. And that our Savior Jesus is everything to us. So may we sing songs that praise the name of God. May we magnify God with thanksgiving. And hear me, there's two types of magnification. There's microscopes, which makes things little look bigger. And then there's telescopes, which they're things so big and so far away we can't see them. But we look through the telescope and it magnifies. Like we want to telescope the glory of God. We're not taking God who's small and powerless and trying to make him bigger. Not at all. Like, do we see it this morning that our God is powerful? That he has set his affection on you and on us as his people to give us everything that we need. And we are singing and reminding ourselves of these things. So we always remember the gospel. May we always remember the gospel. And here it is in verse 12. We give thanks to God who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. And this just jumped out to me this week, and like God graciously put it in bold all across my heart and mind. Because here's the deal. When Satan accuses you and me and reminds you of your sin and reminds you of your guilt and your shame is cycling in your heart, I feel, and I think it's fair to say, you feel disqualified. Who are you, Brian, to fill in the blank? Put your name there. Who in the world do you think you are? You have no right to make disciples. You have no right to stand here and preach. You have no right to be the head of your home. You have no right to, moms, make disciples of your little people. You can't even follow. You don't even, your affection is so low for Jesus right now. Why in the world do you think you can make a disciple of Jesus? That's what our enemy does. But the gospel, we have to remember the gospel, because look at what God says to us and look at what his word says to us. He has qualified us. This would be like us trying to qualify for the 100 meter dash in the Olympics. Unless I'm missing somebody in the room, there is no way that's happening. You got to go through like national qualifying and then international qualifying, and then you got to get through qualifying heats in the Olympics, and then you make it to the finals. There's not happening. But what has God done? He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Why? How did he do it? He has delivered us. Man, hear this morning, church. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So we feel disqualified and are disqualified apart from Jesus. We feel disqualified and we are disqualified apart from Jesus. Is that fair? But God and but the gospel, we are qualified because of what he has done for us. He has transferred us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Listen to Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, speaking of Jesus, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is what King Jesus is doing. So put this up against our accuser. What's he doing day and night? He's accusing us. What is King Jesus doing all the time? He's making intercession for us. Praise Jesus. A quote from a book that is really good called Gentle and Lowly. I think we gave a few of these free. If you want a copy, we still have some. But this is a quote from Dane Ortlund. The atonement accomplished our salvation. Intercession, he's speaking about the intercession of Jesus, is the moment-by-moment application of that atoning work. Think about it. God, do you see Brian? Do you see his week? Jesus, I paid for it. Yeah, I see that one. That happened. Paid for it. I heard what he said. Paid for it. Yeah, I saw what he did. Saw it every, yeah, I paid for that too. No, but you didn't see this. Oh, yeah, I actually did. I saw that from the beginning of time. I paid for it. Paid in full. Applying the atonement to us through his intercession. Oh, how great is Jesus. How awesome is our King. We have made him so little. He is so great. We are not going to understand the full glory of God in the face of Jesus unless we let the full weight of our sin come to bear. 1 John 2:1, my little children, hear this, this is us. I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the what? Righteous. He is the righteous one, advocating on our behalf. Ortland says this again, intercession, this is a good illustration, is the constant hitting refresh of our justification in the court of heaven. That's what Jesus is doing. Paid for it. Nope, paid for it. Paid for it. That's why Paul would say, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you in Jesus? This is not a blanket application to everybody in the world. Has God opened our eyes to lead us to repent and believe the gospel? So Jesus is always praying for us and advocating on our behalf with the Father. He is always praying for us and advocating on our behalf with the Father. And hear this, church. In Jesus, we are qualified and empowered to make disciples. Yes, you are. Do not let Satan tell you that you're not. You are. Why are we so? I feel like the picture of this is like pick your favorite war movie. They're in the trenches, the charge is given, and there's always one dude that's like, you know? That's how we feel sometimes. Or there's like, let's go! So when we're called like made disciples, that's how we feel. Because Satan is lying to you. He's not lying about your sin. He's lying about what Jesus has done. So let's let Jesus, like, give the final judgment and payment on Satan this morning. He is what? Defeated. Go read Colossians 1. It's like, the end of Colossians 1, beginning of chapter, like, he has no authority, no power, no anything. The record of debt has been erased. We are free in Jesus. Let's live that way and function that way. May we engage the battle on the front lines of spiritual warfare, knowing that in Jesus we are qualified and empowered to make disciples.